Blog Talk Radio.
I love this, and I get paid for it.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. You're listening to LP Zone. You're in the zone, baby. Loss prevention, retail security, mall security. Hey, we're glad to have you here today on this hot and humid June. Today is the first day of summer, by the way, June 21st, 2011, almost at 2010. But it's 2011. We're glad that you have joined us for the LP Zone. Yeah, this is our weekly radio show that's all about security in retail, at the mall, at the big box store, at the warehouse store, at the boutique. It's all about security, prevention of theft, fraud, and protecting property and people. I'm your host for this show, Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International. We are a security and police organization based in Atlanta, Georgia, for the last 7 years. We have members in 28 countries around the world and all across the U.S. So, if you are not currently a member of the association, and you would like to profit from being a member, having advanced security training, having more than 40 member benefits, having discounts for training, equipment, products and services, networking, and a whole bunch more, then I encourage you after the show. Not today, not now, not the second, but later today, you can, after the show, go to the website, www.privateofficer.com, and check out how to be a member, join the we won't tell you how many, but a lot of members who are experiencing all of the benefits of being a member of the association. Again, we want to welcome you to the LP Zone, the Loss Prevention Radio Network. Recently on our show, on our Sunday show, our program, we had a two-part series talking about Alzheimer's disease. Now, I didn't carry that over to the LP Zone, although it would have been useful. But we talked about Alzheimer's disease, dementia, emergency response, recognition. And it's something that you as a LP agent or mall security officer should check out. Go to our list of calls. Excuse me. See, we're a live program. These things happen. Go to our list of on-demand programs and check out the recent show on Alzheimer's disease. 5.4 million people currently live with the disease. And that's growing every day because we are the baby boomers. We are the generation that's getting older, and there's just no way to slow it down. As I've said before, you can have operations, you can buy lotions and potions, you can use all the makeup in the world to cover up your actual age, but it's not going to in any way slow down the actual aging process. Being baby boomers, that is causing a lot of health concerns because there are so many of us becoming so old at the same time. 5.4 million people have Alzheimer's disease or dementia. So check out that recent training that we did, two-part series, because you will see it at the mall. You will see it at the box store, at the club, at the retail outlet where you are working. You will see it. You may recognize it. You may not recognize it. You may think it's someone who's intoxicated, someone who is on drugs, or maybe someone who is just old and lost and senile, when in fact they are suffering from a very serious and deadly disease. So you do need to recognize and adequately and appropriately respond to this emergency, this crisis. So check out the radio program after we're done here. Check it out and get some good training completely free. See, now, if you were an actual member of the association, think of how much more you would benefit by all the other free training that we give. We also did a pretty good show, better than average, I guess, on the LP Zone last week on Slip and Slide. We talked about skimmers, credit card readers, and how that is becoming one of the fastest growing types of credit card fraud and retail fraud in America today. The use of portable, small, pocket-sized skimmers that will read your credit card and steal your information, and those that are attached to the ATM machines to do the same thing, and then they clean out your bank account. So, pay attention. Stay on top of your debit and credit card accounts, especially if you use them frequently, as I do. I seldom pay cash. In fact, some stores I have to ask, do you accept cash anymore? Because it seems like everyone, everywhere, is using plastic, be it a debit or a credit card. So I have to stay on top, as I travel all the time, frequently. I have to stay on top of these accounts and make sure that no one has taken advantage of the information provided at the hotel or the restaurant or the gas station and duplicated the card or somehow accessed the account. I've had that happen a couple of times, actually, traveling as much as I do. It was just a few years ago. Or about a year and a half ago in Nashville, Tennessee. I was a upper-end, high-scale, I guess you would call it a high-scale, upper-end restaurant, and we were out for dinner, and I used my credit card to pay for the bill when it came, and the cashier took the server took the card back beyond the area where we could see what was happening. We couldn't see the transaction. And the next day, immediately, charges started showing up in Detroit, Michigan, hundreds of miles away. So it was obvious that the cashier or someone in the restaurant, possibly even a manager, got a hold of that transaction information, possibly had a skimmer, read the credit card information, and immediately transferred, possibly even sold the information to someone in Detroit, Michigan, and they began running up the bills. And luckily, my bank refunded that right away. But you might want to check that show out as well. It had some good information. If you're not familiar with the term slipping and sliding, skimmers and credit card readers, check out the show. I think you will find it more than interesting. Hey, I do got to tell you, as always, while we're on the air, you can always send us an email. You can do it right now, as many people do when we're on the air, or you can do it tomorrow, tonight, or next year when you listen to this edition, this episode. You can send us an email to radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions, promote any training that you might have going on, or announce any type of, recognition type situations. You got promoted. You're getting married. Yeah, we've announced a few of those on here. Or anything of the nature. We'll be glad to do that for you free of charge. It might be a charge. No, it'll be free. Okay, so just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. If you have any questions about Private Officer International, our chapters, training, anything of the nature, you can send a direct email to adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com, or contact me at radio@privateofficer.com. Now, we are also all over the web. As we say every radio episode, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check out our own Private Officer forums, follow our daily news blog, which is updated every day several times. And instead of giving you a whole bunch of links and websites, addresses, blah, 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 we're going to give you just one location to find all of those links in one place, www.privateofficer.com. That's right, www.privateofficer.com. You can link onto our Facebook, our Twitter, our personal forums, our news blogs, and so forth right there from the homepage on privateofficer.com. Now, if you want to follow us on Twitter and you want to stay abreast of everything that's happening, we use Twitter to send out tweets to all of our followers about news, about events, about things happening, and that's a great way to do it. Twitter/privateofficer. Twitter.com/privateofficer. Love to have you as a follower or a friend on any of our social networks. Now hiring. That's what it says here in my footnotes, now hiring. We are hiring instructors. We have several positions available for seminar instructors to travel to give seminars on various topics, including use of force, patrol techniques, workplace violence, the use of our equipment, and other topics. If you have a background in instruction in security and law enforcement, send us your resume at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We're also looking for a marketing manager, someone who will market both training services as well as advertising. If you have experience in marketing, please get in touch with us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. These are salary plus commission benefits, excellent chance for you to get into a growing organization on the brow floor. We also announced a couple weeks ago that we are now offering scholarships this month for our members of Private Officer International. If you are a member and you are interested in taking one of our certification courses, send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. And we also have brand new payment plans in place for everybody. Want to remind you also that we have several great LP certification courses, several loss prevention and mall security certification courses that have been taken by many. They cover more than 40 modules of training. Send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com or go to our website at privateofficer.com/academy. We're committed to you and to your training needs, so be sure to look us up, contact us, we will assist you. And if we don't have a course that you're looking for, our instructors can, you know, write a course specific for your needs. We have a lot going on here at privateofficer.com. Want to kind of quickly go over to the news headlines, and I'm checking my email because we just got a email. Looks like it's from Eddie. Eddie is a longtime member of the association. He says, glad that you're on the LP Zone. Good to hear you. Glad you finally got the show off the ground. I'm a loss prevention agent, as you know. Enjoy all of your training, but more specific, LP. Thanks for the email, Eddie, and you can write us, too, right now at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. Hey, if anyone's listening, and I know most of you are out working, you know, on the real job, doing the real, you know, supporting the kids and the family, but if you want to call in and you happen to be listening, here's the phone number. It's area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number is area code 347-426-3807. And I'll be glad to chat with you for a moment or two before we move on to our next segment. And, of course, if you don't call, I might cry. No. We welcome your call, your questions, comments. Anything that you'd like to talk about. Area code 347-426-3807. As I was saying, we're going to move on over to the news. We don't generally give a lot of news on the LP Zone, although we do every day check out the news, and we do report every day on the news of loss prevention and security, and we stay on top of it. But let's check out and see what's in the old news category. You probably heard this. A man in North Carolina robbed a bank. That's not unusual in itself. Bank robberies happen every day, everywhere. You know, several times an hour. But this gentleman robbed the bank for $1. $1. He just wanted to get into the jail because he had health conditions and he needed medical attention. And this was the quickest, fastest way, that he could get medical attention. So he robbed the bank in North Carolina of $1. Sad. In Columbus, Georgia, a police chief, Jeffrey Wright, the police chief of Columbus Airport, was arrested for burglary into a vehicle. No report as to whose vehicle or what else was going on, what caused him to break into the car, but he's been arrested and charged with burglary. A former Ohio police officer in West Carrollton, Ohio, Joseph Purnell, 41, pled guilty to aiding and abetting his wife in a conspiracy to shoplift from Walmart. They were stealing DVDs, CD, and some toys. He pled guilty and was given a sentence of house arrest. Of course, he's lost his job. I mean, it's just not worth it. It really isn't. Dothan, Alabama, store management and security arrested Kevin Joseph Dunn, 32, and they've charged him with second-degree felony of theft of property. According to police, he has reportedly completed 13 fraudulent merchandise returns between May 31st and June 11th. Ding, ding, ding. Not too bright. You are committing a felony, and you are attempting to make 13 fraudulent merchandise returns in your store in less than 2 weeks. Yay. Not too bright. Evidently, he didn't think he'd get caught. They never do. St. Paul, Minnesota police are saying that flash mob robberies of convenience stores as well as retail outlets are on the rise. Flash mobs use the same technology that brought many people together to sing at train stations and shopping malls and things of that nature. But now they're used to execute bold robberies, and they are happening more and more. Over 90% of these crimes are committed by young people, according to a spokesperson for the Chicago Police Department. Last week in Chicago, four violent assaults and robberies occurred in an upscale shopping area committed by flash mobs. D.C. also seeing a large increase. Las Vegas, Atlanta, Georgia seeing a large increase in these flash mob type robberies. So, unfortunately, when you have 30 or 40 teenagers ravaging the stores and stealing what they will, kind of difficult to put the kibosh to it, especially if you are the lone security officer or LP agent. The best advice is to stand back, notify 911, and avoid being assaulted. You're not going to be able to apprehend 30 or 40 people, and they're probably going to turn on you if you are able to get one in custody. So at this point, the best advice is just to notify police and have them expedite to your location. In Greene Township, Ohio, an employee, and it does not say if they were loss prevention or just a regular cashier or clerk, of Toys R Us was run down twice by a suspected shoplifter. Police say that customers observed a 7-year-old pushing cartloads of merchandise out the store toward a vehicle. They notified the store personnel. Store employees went out and addressed the situation with a grown-up who was putting the merchandise in the vehicle. The grown-up ignored the employee and then loaded the car up, got in, and ran over the employee as he was trying to write down the license tag. As the employee got up off the ground, he hit him again with his vehicle and has fled. Police are currently looking for him. In Townsend, Maryland, that's in the Baltimore County area, Baltimore County police say that they are looking for several thieves who have stole about $12,000 worth of merchandise over the weekend, including one robbery. This was at a store. The suspect pulled a semi-automatic and stole $4,000 worth of merchandise, including 15 pairs of shorts. This was at a store there at the town center in Townsend. So police are looking for those suspects. Police are also looking for a suspect in a violent shoplifting in San Diego. Police say that the target loss prevention agent was beaten by the suspect as he fled with an armload of clothes. Chicago, Illinois, an off-duty Chicago police officer was forced to shoot and kill a teenager after the teenager tried to rob him. The off-duty police officer was dressed up as a clown for a fundraiser when he was approached by the suspect. The police officer was able to get the gun away from the suspect and fired and killed the teenager, who has not yet been identified. Also making news headlines, there's a lot of violence going on, and it's not getting any better. You may have heard about this. A shoplifter in Pasco County, Florida, shot and killed himself at the Kmart. Loss prevention agents had apprehended the 52-year-old David Harris Sheffley for shoplifting some batteries and soda worth about $39. They brought him back into the loss prevention room, the office, where he pulled a handgun. Security agents were able to flee. He then shot and killed himself. It has always been a policy of mine and any retailer I've ever worked for in years gone by to do a pat-down of the suspect once you get him into the room. And I don't know if that would have prevented the shooting or not, or whether or not, you know, he would have pulled his weapon and and shot and killed the loss prevention agents. There's no telling. But nonetheless, a very tragic event, and one that has been highly publicized in the media the last few days. In Jackson, Mississippi, two women so far have won lawsuits against Kroger after they were individually assaulted, beaten, and robbed in the parking lot. Both women sued Kroger, citing a lack of security. Another woman has also sued and is waiting. Amy Smith was awarded $2.5 million. Linda Knox also won $112,189 in their lawsuits against Kroger for the lack of security and their violent attacks. Some retailers would rather pay. They would rather risk the loss. And sometimes it comes back to bite them. Also in the news, a former security agent in Florida is suing her retail ex-employer after she claims sexual harassment. According to the lawsuit, she alleges that an assistant manager groped her several times while she was a loss prevention agent. She reported it to the store manager and nothing happened. At this point, the case is scheduled to go to trial. And we will soon see what takes place. Well, there's a lot of other news that we would love to bring you as always, but we just don't have the time. Today we are going to be talking about the six ways that a employee can steal from you. And we will get that underway in just a moment. We will be back. Don't go away.
Time to pop that top. And fellas, I know you're ready to ride. We went crazy, cooped up all winter long. And school is out, so let's get it on. Flip-flop pants with some white sand. I know the perfect spot. Well, the sunset better set soon so we can get in the mood. Things start getting all heated up and it starts getting
oh, yeah, summer nights. Summer nights, it's hot, humid. Living in the South these days, you just expect it. 97, 98, 100 degrees every day. And it is 98.6 degrees even as we speak. Well, I'm sure you don't want to listen to the weather, but you do want to hear about all the ways that employees steal from us. And today we're going to be targeting, we'll be talking about the cash register area specifically. Now, we do give seminars and training to companies, retailers, and shopping malls. So if you are interested, be sure to contact us at training@trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Employee theft is the largest area of shrinkage in any retail establishment. Employees have dozens of ways to literally take property, cash, trade secrets from their employers and not get caught most of the time. Today, we're going to be looking at the cash register area and employees who use sleight of hand to commit theft, fraud, identity theft, and collusion. Sleight of hand. You know what they say. The hand is quicker than the eye in most cases. So we're going to be talking about six ways that thefts occur at the cash register. And to start the list, we're going to start right off at the most simplest, easiest, and straightforward way that employees steal from us at the register, and that is till tapping, an old term that just means stealing from the register, straight out theft. $10 here, $20, $50, $100, taking cash straight out of the register, never thinking or caring or realizing that at the end of the day, someone is counting the money. Someone is balancing what is supposed to be in the register and what is actually in the register and reporting the negative difference, whether it be a couple of pennies, a couple of dollars, or a couple of $100. You can bet that someone somewhere is paying attention. They're tracking that information. And if you're not, shame, shame on you. You should be, whether you are a small convenience store or a major retailer. One of the, I guess, most easiest way to catch internal theft is by paying attention to your audits, to your cash register audits. If you follow the trail, follow the money, as they say, you will see a pattern begin to set up, and you'll be able to zone in on one particular or two, possibly more, cashiers who are just till-tapping, stealing from the register. In my experience, I have found over the years that many employees will have a urgency for cash, and there's just no other place to get it. They can't borrow it from their parents or their relatives because they don't have it. They can't go to payday loans because they don't have it. They have no money in the bank, and they just need an extra 20 to get them through the week, or possibly 50 to pay a bill. And in some cases, it is legit when they say they stole to feed their family, to put diapers on their baby. I've known of cases where this has been the truth. However, that doesn't negate the fact that they are committing a crime and that they are violating your trust. But stealing from the register is still one of the most popular, if not the most popular, ways of internal theft. There are methods besides auditing and tracking, there are methods to catch this, and we will talk about that just briefly. You can use, besides surveillance, you can use drop money. That is money that you have put in there, an additional $100 bill or $50 bill, where you have tracked the serial number and recorded it, copied it. There are other ways to be able to catch till-tapping or theft from the register. And we'd love to talk with you more about that in a training seminar. But basically, staying on top of them, being observant, being a good accountant and a good manager, regardless of the size of your store, will prevent a lot of that from happening. The number two way, and these are in no particular order, theft of cash, I believe, is still the top way. But the number two way is through collusion. And collusion is much more difficult to catch. Collusion can be done with family members, with friends, with their best girlfriend, their boyfriend. It can even be done with someone that they have recruited from the outside to come in and participate in this collusion. What is collusion? Collusion, basically, is a conspiracy. when more than one person gets together to commit a crime. And in this case, we're talking usually about embezzlement, theft, or fraud. The cashier sometimes becomes employed with their employer for no other reason than to act in collusion with their family, friends, or even a gang. They are there for no other reason than to steal you blind. There are a number of ways that collusion happens at the register. Number one, they oftentimes will give two-for-one discounts. Their partner in crime will come to the register that they are at. They will even wait for their friend or family member to be free at the register. They will even avoid going to the next available cashier so that they can get in line of their friend or family member. And they will bring, let's say, two pairs of jeans to the register. The friend, family member, or their cohort in the crime will ring up one of those items while sticking both of them in the bag. That is straight out collusion, two for one discount. They may bring 10 pieces of clothing, and in surveillance and observations, you see only 3 or 4 or 5 pieces rung up. They are giving 2-for-1 discounts, and that is one form of collusion at the registers. Another very popular form, basically, is just filling the bag up for one price. They will fill the bag up of all the merchandise that their cohort has brought to the register and charge a flat fee, $29.99. They will ring it up under a department. The bag may be holding $100, $200, $500 worth of merchandise, but they have filled the bag up and charged one price. Many times, they will also charge lower than regular price for an item. Their family member or friend, husband, wife may bring something expensive, let's say a TV, a stereo, or some electronic to the cash register. The high-ticket item is not rung up, but instead the cashier applies a different department code and price. They may charge $29 for children's item when in fact it was a TV. I have had many times electronics especially go out the door for less than 10% of their value. They will misring the department and the code for cheaper prices. They will ring up electronics and clothing as candy, as HBA, health and beauty aids. They will do all sorts of scheming at the register to get away with helping their family and friends, husband or wife, with theft, fraud, and embezzlement, collusion at the register. Knowingly, they know what they're doing. It's been prearranged. It's no mistake. Sometimes when they're caught, when the employee is caught, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, don't put me in jail. No, it was a mistake. That's not true. The fact is that they knowingly did it, and it was premeditated, prearranged. So that becomes not theft, but felony embezzlement. And they are facing serious stiff time in prison, as are their cohorts in the crime. Another way that they can interact with people at the register in a collusion manner is by knowingly taking bad or stolen checks or credit cards. They know that this person, his name is James Smith, but the check says it's James Jones. They know the person, but they knowingly take the stolen check or the bad check. There has been a number of cases where the employee and their partners have knowingly come in with fraudulent checks, with fake checking account numbers and information, and gone through the register and taken the store for thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. We have had floor managers and supervisors and assistant managers in on the collusion. In one case, the assistant manager approved several people's checks of thousands and thousands of dollars, knowing that the check was no good because he was in on the deal. He got a kickback later on out the door. So these people got away with thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of goods that he approved the checks. He was called for check approval.
Mr. Roberts, register 6 for check approval. Mr. Rogers, please register 6 for check approval.
They called him. The employee did what they were supposed to do, but the manager, who was involved in the collusion, approved all those worthless checks. So in the collusion department, the 2-for-1 discount, the fill up the bag for one price, the misringing of the department code and for cheaper pricing, and knowingly taking bad, stolen, hot checks or credit cards is just some of the forms of collusion at the register that you have to be very observant of in order to catch. With the 2-for-1 discount, unless you're doing strict one-on-one surveillance, you're probably not going to catch it. However, you can catch the misrung department and code. You can catch, if you audit the registers, the sales on a regular basis, you can catch them ringing up 49 cents gum, 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 49 cents gum. You know, if that happens over and over, obviously something is up, and that's going to warrant some surveillance, some observation for you to catch them in a collusion act. And, you know, there are ways through auditing to catch a number of these collusions. But the best way is to spend adequate time on surveillance of the front end or outlying cash registers. You have to. Whether there's a problem with the employee or not, you have to do at least some cursory surveillance. You have to do some preliminary surveillance now and then, even if there are no problems there that you know of, because if the cashier is giving away product, merchandise, and you're not doing surveillance, then obviously you don't know that there's a problem. If they're giving away jewelry at the jewelry department, then unless there's an audit, an inventory done, you may not know that there's a problem with theft. You may not know that there's a problem with collusion with that employee and others unless you're doing surveillance. So that is the number one way of both preventing and detecting collusion at the front end registers or the outlying areas. The third way that employees scam, and commit fraud and embezzlement at the registers is through credit card fraud. They will often skim the numbers. They'll use stolen IDs. Stolen credit cards. They may even ring up a fraudulent sale with the credit card and then refund it to themselves. It happens all the time. The fourth way, again, is through collusion with the head cashier, the front-end manager, or an assistant manager, where they sometimes will conspire with someone over them who has to approve large transactions, and they will jointly commit the crime. It's sometimes hard to prove unless you see the physical transaction, but nonetheless, it can be caught, and it is caught frequently by LP agents and investigators all across this country and around the world. The fifth way of committing embezzlement, theft, fraud at the register, and this is kind of, you know, it's not a new technique by any means, but they are, I'll tell you, employees want to steal from you, they're going to find a way. This is becoming a headache, a nightmare, and that is through coupons, bonus dollars, and rebates. It may not sound like it could possibly be a problem. It may not sound like anything to worry about, but it is. Just recently at a Kohl's department store, an LP agent nabbed an employee because they had taken a bunch of Kohl's dollars, which are kind of like bonus money that the stores give out to the customers for discounts and whatnot, and they refunded those Kohl's dollars to themselves for hundreds of dollars. So they took the play money, so to speak, the bonus dollars or the Kohl's dollars, and they exchanged it for hard cash for themselves. Again, unless you are doing daily, weekly audits, unless you are doing heavy surveillance, you're not going to catch it. If the money count room manager does not have a suspicious nature, if they don't have a good accounting habit or auditing practice, they're not going to catch these type of frauds. Some cash room managers that I've worked with was excellent. They could see, you know, a fraud in a detail tape a mile away. They could smell a cashier problem immediately, sometimes within days of that employee being hired, because they were good at their job. You have to have good working relationships with your management team, with your people in the money room, the cash count room, whatever you want to call it. You have to have good working relationships with the people on the loading dock, because that's also an area of high shrinkage. You have to understand all of the techniques involved in employee theft. And today we're only talking about six forms of, you know, theft at the cash register, but there's many others. There's others that we won't be discussing today that you need to be aware of. But getting back with the refunds at the registers of bonus dollars, cashiers will refund or void out transactions of coupons, bonus dollars, rebates. They will refund them back to themselves or their friends. They will take items like these bonus dollars and save them up for days and weeks until they get enough substantial where they trade them in for cash. And basically, when they do the count out of the register, they put in 50 bonus dollars or extra bucks or whatever you want to call them, and they take the cash out. They put these paper worthless items in and take cash out. Pretty good deal, almost like money on the tree. You know, if it worked that way, we'd all be doing it. They can use rebates in the same method. They can put a rebate into the register and take the cash out and put it on a transaction where it didn't apply. All sorts of things. And you have to be really on your toes. You have to really be paying attention to catch it. And last but not least, refund frauds and voided out transactions at the register also cause a high loss to the employer. Many times a cashier will void out the transaction completely. The last transaction was $103.16. They save the receipt. They don't give the customer their receipt. They hold the receipt. And then, during a quiet time, during the opportune time, they then void out that transaction for the $103, and they refund that money to themselves. In the case of an override or a management or front-end supervisor approval necessary, they will make those refunds smaller until it all adds up to the larger amount. They will make them smaller so that they don't have to be over an overring. They don't have to have a manager's approval or a front-end manager or supervisor. They will also void out transactions in collusion with the front-end manager, with the head cashier, and they will split the money. This is a common practice in refunds. If you are a loss prevention agent, a retail security manager, if you are a manager of a boutique or small store, you may want to pay attention to these voids. If a particular cashier is having too many, or if they are suspicious in nature, you may want to do surveillance. You may even want to do a write-up, a counseling of the employee. Maybe they will confess to theft. Nonetheless, you need to be paying attention to the front end, because that is where a high percentage of shrinkage comes from, along the front end register line and the outlying registers. You know, because there's so many ways of stealing, you know, from the register. And an employee knows a manager can't be every place. And even if the store is lucky enough to have loss prevention, they know their schedules. They know when security is in the store. He's in the house. He might be watching. They know when they can get away and when they can't get away with their actions, with their activity. It is important to have good auditing habits of your front end and outlying registers. It is important to have good surveillance and observation techniques of your registers, of your cashiers. And it is important, another form of detection is stopping suspicious persons and checking the receipts. And if your store has a door guard, allowing them to do spot checks, that will cut down on collusion. It will also help to detect it if that is a problem. So in the wrap up, very quickly, we have six ways at the front end or at any outlying register that register theft can occur. Till tapping, or just straight out theft from the register, which I've seen them steal $20 this week and return it next week. And it was very odd that this particular cashier came up short 1 week and then would be ahead the next week the same amount. And basically they were stealing a little bit to get them through the week and returning it on pay week when they got paid. They were honest and dishonest at the same time. Till-tapping, collusion between friends, two-for-one discounts, fill-the-bag, misringing of merchandise departments and codes and prices, and knowingly taking bad or stolen checks or credit cards. Also, credit card fraud, just giving off the numbers right there at the register. Collusion with head cashiers and front-end managers happens. Even with people that we like and we think will never do it, it happens. Coupons, bonus dollars, and rebates, holding them back and exchanging them for money. And last but not least, voiding out transactions and then taking the cash and refund fraud. If your cashiers are allowed to do refunds, that is a huge area of shrinkage and theft because it's so easy to fake a refund and just take the cash. There are so many ways that employees can get over on you, especially at the register. It's important to have good auditing and security techniques in place. If you'd like more information on loss prevention or security training for your store, your convenience store, your boutique, your big box store, or shopping mall, we have both online security training as well as on-site. Online, on-site, on-demand, all the time. Send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com or just go to our website at www.privateofficer.com/academy. And you will get all of the information that you need there. Again, I want to just encourage you to become a member of Private Officer International. If you're not already, I want to really encourage you, if you are a shop owner, a store owner, a security manager, to join the organization. You will benefit greatly from the benefits as well as the advanced training for you and all of your employees. Well, that's about all the time that we've got. Believe it or not, our time today is gone. Join us next week, same time, same place, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the LP Zone, the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We'll have another interesting topic for you there. Until then, God bless, be safe, and I'll see you back here on the radio. I can move it up about a Saturday night. I'm